Thank you, Jacob, for that song. And I know for sure that without a vision, people will perish. And so God help us to have a vision for the lost, a vision for those that have not found the love of God, reaching out to them. And Jacob, I appreciate you sharing that, and those thoughts of that song, they were a blessing. And we appreciate God in doing what He's doing. I want to say this about Pastor Phil. I want you to know he's not, as you know, he's not here tonight. Clearly we can see that. But I want you to know it's very difficult for him to, when he's not here, to dismiss you, dismiss the church, dismiss the service from his mind. He's here. He thinks about it. He would like to be here tonight, but he felt it best just to take this time and get some rest, much needed rest, as he has gone through quite a lot of difficulty physically. And we've been there with difficulty. We've had hard times physically, and he'll come through this. He'll get through it. He's getting through it even better now than he was. And so I know he appreciates our prayers and standing with him in this time. But it's good to see you here tonight. I'm thankful to have this opportunity to share God's Word with you. And I want to take you to one verse of Scripture to start this tonight. And I'm going to title this message, The Low Dungeon. The Low Dungeon. Now, I want to take you to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3 and one verse there, verse 55. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 55. And it's a very short verse, but it is a verse with real significance as to what the writer was going through here in verse 55. And it says, he said in verse 55, I called upon thy name, Jeremiah saying, I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon, out of the low dungeon. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your being there. Wherever we are in life, we can find you. Wherever we are in life, we can know that you're there as close as a prayer. All we have to do is exercise our faith and reach out in faith to you right where you are, and you will come and answer us, because you're a God that never sleeps. You're a God that never dismisses your people from your mind and from your love, and you're with us wherever we are in life. Now, Lord, bless these words and this message tonight. We ask you to send forth your word as it is. May it find a resting place in the heart and life of every hearer. And may your word do exactly what we know it does. It changes us. It forms us. It makes us into the vessel that you want us to be. And Father, may we be submissive. May we be receptive. May our hearts be open and our lives be reaching out to you and saying, what, Lord, do you have for me tonight? We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, we're talking tonight, Jeremiah is really talking about a place that that he really did not want to be, and it's a place that not any of us really want to be, and he describes his place as a low dungeon. And I wonder, have you ever been in such a low place you felt like that you were so low that you didn't know if you were even reachable where you were? And suddenly you realized exactly where you were and exactly how much help you needed, and then you were able in your faith somehow to just reach out to him and find him at such a time of need. And I wonder tonight, if I may ask you, how low have you been? How low have you ever been in your life? Just take a moment and think back on it. Maybe tonight's the night. Well, if it is, you're in the right place, because the Lord will find you right where you are, and He has every reason to lift you up out of a low place that you are. But think about where you are tonight, and think about how low you have ever been in your life. And I say low because what I want to talk to you tonight about is that of discouragement. I believe that Jeremiah was in a low, low place, and you could even say it was a low place of discouragement. Now, I wonder how often we get discouraged in this life. I'm sure that we all find a place to be discouraged. I couldn't help but think about something today that happened that really spoke to me, and as it did, I couldn't help but think about it, but I was able to have prayer with this gentleman as I talked to him on the phone. And I said to him, how are you doing? And he went on to talk about he's making the best of what has come his way. And I said, where are you? And he stopped for a minute and he said, I don't know. I don't really know where I'm at. I said, well, you're talking to me on a cell phone, and I'll tell you, there's a couple of good things I want you to look at here. Number one is, wherever you are, you have a cell phone. And that's communication, that's connection. And I said, then secondly, wherever you are, you're in a building, and that's protection. You're inside of a building. And I just thought to myself, how discouraging that would be if I was anywhere and I really did not know where I was. It just didn't register where I was. I didn't recognize my surroundings. And he was very honest about that. And then as I was able to have prayer with him over the phone, I tell you, I felt the Holy Spirit just minister to him, and he broke down and began to be emotional about God touching him and blessing him. And I couldn't help but feel like, thanks be unto God, when we're in a low place, even when we don't know where we are, then God meets us there and reaches out and ministers to us. And I was able to pray with him. But the idea of discouragement really means a loss of confidence. A loss of confidence or enthusiasm. And you know, you can be enthusiastic about life and about living and about some good things that are going on. But what if nothing good is going on and you've lost your enthusiasm? I believe it's easy to sink into the mire, if I can call it that, the mire of a loss of confidence and loss of enthusiasm, or it's a place where perhaps you even feel beat down. Sometimes we get the feeling like life just beats us up wherever we go. We feel like there's difficulty here, difficulty there, and wherever we turn, it seems like it's a hard place. Well, I'll tell you, I want you to know, when all of what's going on seems so hard and you don't find any sunshine or any joy, I want you to know, when you turn your attention to God, begin to look and call upon Him, He can take that hard place and He can smooth it out and make it okay. And He can let you know that He loves you right where you are. Somehow I felt like this man today just, the Lord blessed him and touched him right where he was. And so in his discouragement, he found the strength of the Lord. And I want you to know, in our discouragement, God is always there. He's as close as a prayer. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to look there just for a moment in 1 Kings chapter 18, and I want to share a few verses there in chapter 18, verse 37, and it's the cry of Elijah, and he was really in a place where he got God's attention and great things were happening. And in verse 37, he said, "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And so he wanted the people to know that God was there and saw everything that they were going through. And it was a difficult time. And it was when Elijah was praying and seeking God for a great victory. And it was there at that time that God answered him. And there were 450 prophets of Baal that were slain on that day because God answered by fire on the sacrifice and proved he is Lord God. And so God answered, and as we read on then, as soon as let's go on over to verse 1 of chapter 19. I'd like to begin reading there with verse 1. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah. She did not like that. That was not something that she wanted to hear, and so she was angry about it. She sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, I want you to notice here Elijah's reaction, and consider this. He had just been through a great victory, and this happened not long after that. He had just been through a great victory of fire falling from heaven, receiving the sacrifice. The God of heaven answered and proved himself to be Lord God, consuming the sacrifice. The prophets of Baal were killed with the sword, and God reigned victorious. And now, just a short time after, he gets word from a messenger, and he's told that Jezebel is angry with you, and she is out to get you. Now, you can imagine getting that kind of a message. That's not encouraging. That's not encouraging. But now keep this in mind, that he had just been there where he had great encouragement and great answer. And so it says in verse 3, and when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Now he went about 100 miles from where he was, left his servant there, and then he moves on another 15 miles by himself. And notice what happened in verse 4. He himself went a day's journey unto the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And notice what his request was. Now, this is hard for me to get a hold of, but he says this. He requested for himself, that he might die. Can you believe that? After just going through such great victory, here he is requesting for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And so this really is what you see, is this man Elijah being caught up in a great discouragement in his life to think the good things he has done. I don't know how he was able to sink so low, but the good things that just happened and God just answered. And he ought to know that the same God that just had given mighty victory and had rained fire and received the sacrifice, and the prophets of Baal, 450 in number, were slain, and that the same God was with him wherever he would go. But yet, here he is on the run because Jezebel is after him to take his life. And he just decided, it'd be better for me than to be on the run. Just, Lord, let me die. Let me get it over with. And it didn't seem to have any real hope about what was going on. Well, there was a little more to it than that, because he really thought he was the only prophet that was left. He thought he was the only one, that there was only one prophet left, and he was the one. And he thought, well, I'm the only one remaining, just as well take my life and let it be over with. And so discouragement had settled in upon him in such a way that he just did not feel like he could go on. I wonder how many times we sometimes get that low in what we call a low dungeon, you might say it that way, in such a low place. Now, the book of Lamentations, let's go back to that just for a moment. The book of Lamentations is exactly what the name implies. It's a book of sorrow and of tears. Jeremiah was weeping because of the captivity and the desolation of Jerusalem. He lived to see his terrible predictions become fulfilled. Jeremiah had suffered much because really of his prophecies, and here he was, and he had felt that his greatest suffering came from his own broken heart. That's right, his heart, he felt, was broken because the Jerusalem had been destroyed. He loved Judah. He loved Jerusalem, but they had turned from God, and because they had drifted away from God, they had to pay a price, and the price was being brought into captivity, and many were there, many were in destruction. The whole city, the city of Jerusalem, was in havoc and was in destruction, and there was loss of prestige, but most of all, they lost their place of spiritual leadership. And so Jeremiah was so distraught about that, and he was brokenhearted. Now there's a man that really had the love and the heart for his people. And there they were in destruction simply because they turned their back on God. I'll tell you, anytime we turn our back on God, we will sink into a low place. The only way you're going to be able to be in the place that you need to be to overcome anything that comes at you is to be in a place of submission. And here's what he did. He said, I call upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Out of the low dungeon. And so this was the lowest place that he could have been. And so he cried out unto the Lord. Well, in all that was on his mind and all that bothered him and all that broke his heart, he was doing one thing right, and he was calling unto God, his Lord, because there was only one that could fix those circumstances and bring things back together and unite the people and let the people know that God loves them, and that was his God. And so he did the right thing. From his lowest place, he began to cry out unto God. And I want you to know tonight, if you're in a low place, if you're discouraged in any way, what you need to do is find yourself crying out unto God, because he will hear you. And Jeremiah prayed from the prison, and Daniel prayed from the lion's den. Jonah cried out to God from the fish's belly, and Paul and Silas prayed from a prison cell. And I'll tell you, in every single case of these men mentioned, I want you to know that God was there and God was in tune with them, and they found him to come on the scene. It doesn't matter where you are, what low place you're in, if you find it in your heart and in your spirit to just simply go to God's word, begin to meditate on the things of God and what God says to you, you'll find that discouragement leave you, and you'll find there to be a victory that will come your way. Now, we can pray at any time and any place, wherever we are, from the lowest dungeon, from the highest mountain. It doesn't matter where we are, we can pray. And there are many things that really will bring us down into a low dungeon in life. And I think one of those things is, for a fact, sickness. Sickness has a way of just kind of sneaking up on us and making us feel overcome and overwhelmed with what's going on, and we don't understand it. We can't get an answer. But I'll tell you, what we do is we try to understand that sickness is also something that our Lord is concerned about. And I like what is promised to us for healing in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Let's look at that verse, Matthew 8, verse 17. And then I want to read it. It says, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Elias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities, himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now, what that means is you don't have to carry them around yourself. Well, you know, there's every opportunity we need to make to receive healing for the sicknesses that come our way. We're just going to have those kind of things that come at us. And really, our sickness can have the effect of discouragement and bring us into a low dungeon because we simply feel like that God is not there and He is not concerned. But I'll tell you, when you read Matthew 8:17, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You cannot help but know in God's Word that He cares right where you are. He took those things upon Himself. And in all that He went through on the cross and 39 stripes that they laid on Him, it said that every stripe laid on the back of Jesus, 39 stripes, was healing for every major disease that is known to mankind. 39 major diseases. Every stripe that Jesus took was for our healing, that we be healed and that we be changed, that we find a strength in Him and an uplifting in Him. And so, though sickness may take us to a low dungeon, I'll tell you, there's an answer in God's Word in Matthew 8:17. And so another thing that takes us to a low place, oftentimes it's just failure. We feel like we failed. We feel like for some reason we've not been able to achieve what we really wanted to achieve. And I think that really at the heart of man is there a real fear of failure. Moses was afraid to take the call and lead the people out of Egyptian bondage. I really think at the heart of that is he was afraid he couldn't do it. He was afraid he would fail. And somehow in thinking about that, he realized that faithful is he who called him to do it, who would also enable him to do it. Don't ever think that what you're called to do and what you set out to do in life, whatever purpose you have in life and living, you have to go it alone, because alongside you is Jesus. His yoke is easy and His burden is light, and you will find rest under your soul as you're yoked up with Him. Know this, that He will lead you along to the place that you will not fail, and you need not fear in failure and be discouraged by that. And so today, we think of different things that cause us to fear, to have failure, or send us to that low dungeon of life and that low place. But I want you to know that wherever we are, what we've got to do is just very simply learn to trust Him, that He knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. The arm of the flesh is weak, and I'll tell you, there's no strength in the weakness of our flesh. But I'll tell you, there's strength in Jesus. I like Proverbs 3:5-6. And it's a verse, a couple of verses there that you can live by, and they'll do when you're at your lowest low, when you're at your highest high. The writer Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. With all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. In acknowledging Him and letting Him be the director in your life, there is no discouragement. In acknowledging Him and trusting Him with your eyes on Him, there is no discouragement. In Him is life, and in Him is direction. He is the director of your life. Now, if you're going a direction that you've not bathed in prayer and asked God to give you direction and help and lead and guide you, then you're on the wrong path anyway. But I'll tell you, as you try in everything that you have, you need to know that He will direct you. If man is not really, if we're not right with God, then I believe that we ought to be afraid of where we are. If we're not right with God. And I'll tell you, if we're not right with God and if we have not opened our heart to Jesus, and let him come in and live in us and make his presence known in us, his spirit changing us. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. So in God's program of making things new, in the newness of his creation, in you, in giving you life and hope and health and direction, there is no discouragement. No discouragement. Well, you can know this, that sin will always take you down a road of discouragement. And many are separated from God because of sin. They lose fellowship, they lose prayer power and their testimony. In spite of this, there are certain discoveries that we make in the low dungeon. Jeremiah found out certain things as he cried out unto God from a low dungeon. And he found out clearly that God still cared. Jeremiah knew that God was with him wherever he was. Daniel had to remember God was still God. Elijah had to find out that God is still God. And what I really think happens to us when we sink low in a dungeon of discouragement, it's a time when we have to rediscover that God is still God. It's a time when we discover that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is a God that cares about me. He cares about me. He cares where I'm at. He cares what I'm going through. And I want you to know, in the darkest hours of life, Jesus cares about us. I want to share a story with you here about a man by the name of Paul Van Gorder. He tells about the old homestead where he was raised, where he was brought up. He had a little bedroom at the end of the hall. He said when he was young, it seemed like a considerable distance from where he was to his parents' room, which was really right down the hall, and his mother would flick off the light and say goodnight, and more than once in the darkness, his parents would hear his voice from the room say, "Mom, Dad, are you there? Are you there?" And everybody would be all right when he heard the words, "Yes, Paul, we are here." Now that's it. We don't need to be afraid of where we are. We just sometimes need God's word to lift us up out of that low dungeon of discouragement and remind us that he's there with us all the time. And so in the dungeons of life, we can find delights. We can find delights. And what it is, a delight when we find that we can pray. Jeremiah prayed from the prison cell. Jonah prayed from the fish's belly. Christ prayed from the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Father, thy will be done, not my will be done, but your will be done." When we exercise our prayer and our confidence and our faith in him from the low dungeon and the low place in life, what a delight it is when we find out that he was there all the time waiting for us. He was waiting patiently in line until you would see that and find him. And so it is that we need to find his presence wherever we are. He said in his word, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Young people, he's with you always, even to the end of the world. It doesn't matter how it is in class. It doesn't matter how it is with your friends and those that you have friendships with. I'll tell you, the friend that you need is Jesus, who sticketh closer than a brother. He's there, and he'll be your friend of friends. But I'll tell you what you've got to do is you've got to find him. You've got to call on him. In your discouragement, no. In your low place, no. When the pressures are on you, and when you've got peer pressure, and the pressure of difficulty and change and decision is on you, know that you can find him right where you are. But you got to exercise that prayer and that story of prayer unto him and find him and know he cares. Now, I came across a story of the story of Jenny Lind. That's L-I-N-D, Jenny Lind. And I think it says it very well. She had such a beautiful voice. They called her the Swedish Nightingale. After every successful career, it was proposed by the great promoter P.T. Barnum that she should do a concert in the United States. In the United States. Her tour was a remarkable success. Her final appearance was to be in the Metropolitan Opera House in New York City. What an opportunity she had. And so Jenny Lind, her performance was superb. They saw and autographed many different times. She displayed pictures and she autographed them and they appealed to her and she took a book. At that time in her life, she took a book and sat at the table and began to write this very thing, because something wasn't right in her life and she knew it. And she began to write this very thing. She wrote, "In vain I seek for rest in all created good. It leaves me still unblessed and makes me cry for God. And sure, at rest I cannot be until my soul finds rest in thee, in thee." And then she signed her name. And so the world was at her feet. A fortune was at her fingertips, but she was restless. Then came the announcement that Jenny Lind was giving up her career. Can you believe that? At the height of her career, she's giving it up. And they say an American tourist made a call to her cottage one day. He found her sitting in the garden with her Swedish Bible in front of her. And the tourist asked her why she had given up her career. Well, she replied by pointing to her Bible, saying, "Because my career was blinding my eyes to this." And she held up her Bible. Her career was blinding her eyes to God's Word, to her Bible. And she held it up. And she replied, and she said, "The delights come when we abide then in the presence of the Lord." And so Jenny Lind discovered what she really was missing was a spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, discouragement will set in any unbeliever's life that does not know Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, because He's the hope of glory. He's the hope of glory. He's everything about right living and everything in joy and happiness in life. Young people, you can't look anywhere and find joy and happiness in life but in Jesus Christ. He is the one that will reach you. He is the one that will lift you up. But I'll tell you, all He wants you to do is come and lay down your sins and anything in your life unpleasing to Him. Open your life and your heart and invite Him to come in. And then in Revelation 3:20, He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear the voice and open the door," He said, "I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me." And so He says, if we'll just open the door. And that's what we have to do. If you think a low dungeon is a bad place, understand that sin puts us in a bad place. The weight of sin, the weight of our trespasses and the wrongs that we are, and the weight of sin needs to be unloaded and laid at the foot of the cross. And we need simply to say, "Jesus, forgive me of everything that I've done and come into my heart." And you'll find that a low countenance, a low attitude, a discouragement that you have, He can lift you out of that just as quickly as you exercise faith in His direction. And He's saying to us today in the great invitation of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And He's saying, "I'll give you rest." He says, "Then take my yoke upon you." He says, "Learn of me, and I am meek and lowly of heart." But then He says this, "And ye shall find rest unto your souls." That rest is not there aside from Jesus. And that unrest is what causes you to go into the deep dungeon of despair and discouragement. He said, and you'll find rest unto your souls. And this is what he says then after that. He says, for my yoke is easy. In other words, he's saying, if you'll yoke up with me, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know why it's heavy? It's because we're trying to carry it ourselves. And he wants you to give him your burden tonight. He wants you to realize discouragement is all around, but in him is no discouragement. It doesn't matter how discouraged we might be. It doesn't matter what we're up against. I'll tell you, there isn't anything too difficult for our Lord. Young people, there isn't anything too difficult for you in Jesus. But what you've got to do is you've got to willingly turn your life over to him. And that's all he wants. He wants you. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He just says, unload everything on me. My burden is light. The load's heavy, but his burden is light. Stand together with me tonight. As I look around, I see a lot of reasons in this life to be discouraged. I see a lot of things going on that aren't too encouraging, and a lot of them in the political realm, not very encouraging. Oh, I'd like to see unity, both sides. I'd like to see a unity of spirit and purpose for our country and for what America stands for and all that's going on. I'd like to see that. You would too. And it's discouraging if you look at it, but we can't let it get a hold of us. What we've got to do is look to Jesus, the Lamb of God. Look to him, and he'll lift us up above all that discouragement. And so I want you just for a moment, if you're here tonight and you feel that you would like to come for prayer, not only to lift discouragement from your life, but if you need Jesus in your life and you've never accepted him and you'd like to come, I give you a moment to come forward. Please feel free to do so. Thank you.